It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is our awesome sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall. How are you this morning, gorgeous?
I am doing just fine. Thank you.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to us by email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. They can find you what you're looking for. Today is not Thursday. However, we're going to try to have the Truth Podcast following the program today. So stay tuned. After the program is over, we'll have probably a little bit of music so we can get the iPad reset up to bring you a word from Pastor Dwight with the Truth Broadcast. I think I covered it all this morning. Would you please pray to start us out?
All righty. Well, Father God, we want to say that we thank you for another beautiful morning here in Western Oklahoma. Thank you for the rain that we received on last night as well. And so, Father God, we thank you because as the rain that comes in the natural, we believe for the rain in the spiritual as well, Lord, as we share that which you've given us, Lord, to give to your people this morning. And I pray for every listener, God, that this word will fall on good ground, ground that is ready to receive and hearts that are ready and open to hear the engrafted word of truth. And so, Father God, we say that your people be blessed, that they be blessed in what they hear, God, that it will be a word of encouragement. And we truly thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I really like your title this morning, Let the Garment Go.
Amen. Amen. I believe a while back I shared about just let it go.
Yes.
And so you might want to look at this as a part two to that particular message. But I was looking and just thinking about the garments that Joseph had on and that were taken from him. Then I started thinking about Jesus, the garment he had on when he got was crucified, and about the soldiers, you know, that were casting lots for his tunic, and just different things of that nature. And as I was sitting there thinking, I thought this is a message, and so I thank God for what He has given me on that lines. So we're going to be coming out of Genesis 37. And we're going to hit the beginning, we're going to hit right at the middle, and then we're going to hit Revelations 2. So y'all just get ready for the word here. Genesis 37, and we're going to start reading at 3 and 4, dealing with the coat that Jacob gave his son Joseph. But before I get to that part, I want to say that let's talk a little bit about Jacob. What Jacob had not learned yet. What he had not, you hear me, what he had not learned. See, Jacob came through a family with his parents being Rebekah and Isaac. And Rebekah favored Jacob and Isaac favored Esau. And so, you know, some of us know about the story and how when he was on Up Into Manhood, and how Esau sold his birthright, and then all to Jacob, and also Isaac end up giving the blessing, which should have went to the oldest child, which was Esau, but Jacob tricked and fooled him by putting his mother put these skins, hairy skins on him, and try to make him feel to be like Esau. And so Isaac, not being able to see very well, he thought that Jacob was Esau, and so he gave him that blessing. Well, and then he goes to Laban, you know, to kinfolk in another place, and to flee from his brother, you know, being upset about all of that. And then you have another person in the family, Laban, that deceives too, and decides to give Jacob Leah as his first wife. And Jacob had worked 7 years for Rachel. And so you see there's a lot of deception going on in that family. And it started off with preferential treatment, if you will. And so now you have in Genesis 37 and verse 3, and I'm going to read it, what it says. Now Israel, now mind you, Israel is Jacob. He had been given that name. God had changed his name. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And so here you have this particular incident. Jacob is showing preference to Joseph. Now, like I said, what he had not learned through what he had experienced, you know, that you shouldn't be showing preferential treatment to one child over the other. He had not learned that lesson. And so I understand about him having a child in his old age. I have my youngest son who's 20. I had him at 44. And so I understand that, you know, it is a special thing. But you still have to love all your children the same. You know, there you can love all your children the same and yet know their strengths and their weaknesses, and you can choose them to do certain things, you know, according to what they can and, or, you know, or can't do, or what they will not do. That's not showing preferential treatment. But when you show preference to one is when you do something more for one than you do for the other. And so you have Jacob here having this coat of many colors that he had made for his son, and the tunic, was beautiful, I'm sure. And but what caused the brothers, already they were already seeing that their father was showing him preference, that he loved him more than he loved the rest of them. So all that the tunic did was bring even a more divisive situation in, if you will. Here is Jacob. He's all, you know, excited by giving his son of his old age this tunic. And the brothers are looking at this tunic as another thing for which to hate Joseph for, okay? It made for an ugly situation, if you will. All right, so now let's go on down to verse 23 in the same chapter. And it says, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now, I'm not trying to read the whole entire story, so I'm just hitting some highlights of some things here because of what I want to share about letting the garment go. Let's go down to verse 31. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and I will kind of fill in what happened. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, the brothers minus Reuben sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they concocted this plan so that when Reuben had told him, you know, just place the boy in a pit, hoping to later get him out and return him to his father. But they decided to go further than that and sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph is a type of Jesus, you know. Just like Jesus was sold for 20 pieces of silver, I believe it was 20 pieces of silver, that Judas went in, you know, just to tell the chief scribes and priests where Jesus was. He sold out Jesus for that amount of money. Now, I want you to know, the enemy wants you out of the way. And the reason I'm saying that, here was Reuben. He says, now, let's just put him in the pit. And I'll go back and get him later and take him to the father. But the enemy just doesn't want you to be punished. He wants you completely out of the way. And here is this tunic in the picture. And so what has happened? The brothers have taken the tunic, had an animal killed, put blood on it. They're not going to go and take the tunic and say, you know, the animal killed him. They're going to let the father say it as if they're, you know, getting by with something by just letting, we just take this tune, let dad, you know, think what he wants to think. We won't have to say anything. Well, you know what? You can act out a lie as well as you can speak a lie. You can be deceptive in your actions as well as you can say it out, you know, forthright. And so when Jacob saw that, he just immediately assumed that that was what had happened, that an animal had come and gotten his son and killed him. But it was, we know that that was not the case. Like I said, he was sold to the Ishmaelites. The tunic was a symbol of who Joseph was in the eyes of his father. To Jacob, he was a special child because of him having him in his old age. How important was the tunic to Joseph? Well, we know the tunic was special to Jacob. He's the one that made it. But how important do you think the tunic was to Joseph? He had it on when they sold him. They took it off of him when they got ready to, you know, to do what they were going to do. And so I believe the tunic was important enough to him while he had it. Now just think about that for a moment. It was important enough for him to have it on, you know. But when it was taken, there's no other passage of scripture to say that Joseph was mourning the taking of his tunic, and That was not the thing that he was, you know, pressed in his mindset, apparently, because he's not talking about that tunic. You don't see him talking about that in the scriptures, that I lost my tunic. And the reason why I'm saying that is because sometimes we lose things, and, you know, be it physical or be it whatever it be, we hold so tightly to those things till we can't seem to function and do like we need to do in our everyday life, because we put more value on those things that should, you know, than we should. People have lost things. People have lost homes. People have lost cars. People have lost items. I lost my class ring here. Goodness, when I was in my 20s. And every so often, I'll see a story on TV where somebody lost their class ring or something and it's been returned to them 50 years later. And I'm thinking, if somebody found that person's ring, surely somebody's got mine. It sure would be nice for me to have it. But I don't think about that thing every day. I don't think about it every year, because there are just other things that are more, have more priority, have more value in my life, and especially at this stage in my life. I can't afford to get up every morning thinking about that class ring that I lost and wishing that it would be returned. We've got to know what holds, you know, more value in our life. And so you don't see Joseph speaking about that tunic. He had to let the garment go. Get that, people of God, and people that are not of God. I hope you become of God today. He had to let the garment go, okay? Let's talk about another garment here. Genesis 39, and we're going to start at verse, I believe it's verse 11. Yes. And it says, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Oh, let me stop here. After he's been thrown into, given to the Ishmaelites, he ends up being thrown into jail. But then a man named Potiphar comes, and he ends up being a worker up under his house, I mean, being in charge of everything as well. Okay, let me start back at 11. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she, and it's talking about Potiphar's wife, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. Now, she had been asking him to lie with her for, you know, different times. And we're not talking about lie with her and telling a story or untruth, but lie with her in bed. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until the master, his master, came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. And what ends up happening, Joseph ends up going to prison for that particular act that she has accused him of which he did not do. Now, this is Potiphar's wife, and she had tried to seduce Joseph various times, and here's this one last time, and he, once again, it involves a garment, and he knows, he says, I've got to get out of here, and I got to get out of here in a hurry. So he flees, and she grabs a hold to his garment, and he doesn't, you know, notice something about, he doesn't try to stay and tussle with Potiphar's wife to get his garment back. They're not doing no tug of war, and he's trying to give me back my garment. No, they're not. There's nothing like this is happening. He gets on out of there. And so Potiphar's wife has to make up a story so she think as to why she got this garment in her hand, because she don't want to be looked at as the one that, you know, has tried to do something. And so she makes up that little story there that I just read. So the undoing of his garment leads him to prison. I want you to see something there. He may have lost his reputation as well as his garment due to false circumstances. But I tell you what he did not lose. He didn't lose his personal integrity. He lost his reputation, maybe. He lost that garment. But he did not lose his integrity with God. See, that's what we got to get to here. Whatever things that we lose, if it's not due to our own undoing of these things, you don't have to, you know, go about thinking, oh, man, this happened to me. I don't, you know, I feel embarrassed. I feel whatever. No, you know who it counts with. And that is to the Lord. People are really fickle. People will hear things. And, you know, I get on my phone sometimes and I'm looking up things to encourage myself, you know, looking up things to hear from ministers that maybe I may be familiar with in my search on the phone. And I might see something there that somebody from wherever will say about a person that may I've been listening to that just does not look good. I can't just take it all to heart unless, you know, facts are there to know that this is what has really happened. And so people will say things, people will make up things, but we have to know that God knows the truth. God knows the truth about all things. And so don't, you know, get closed-minded about, you know, what has happened to you, what you have lost, to the point that you're going to worry about what people think, what people may say. We have to let that go. We have to let the garment of shame go, the garment of embarrassment go, the garment of whatever. If it's not due to your own failings, and let me say this, if it is due to your own failures, then you need to go to God and ask God to forgive you of whatever, and then still keep marching on. Don't let what people will keep holding you to keep holding you back. Keep marching on in the things of God. You know, it's just God. He's just a forgiving God. He's a loving God, and he wants to see us make it. See, we got to know we have a God in heaven that really wants to see us make it. But we got a devil on this earth that really want to see us not make it. Okay. Don't let the stripping of your outer strip you of who you are inwardly. I like that. Let me say that again. Don't let the stripping of your outer strip you of who you are inwardly. You're not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. That's who you are. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, God is, you know, if we just get ourselves pointed, get our mindsets pointed in the right direction and know who we are serving. Yes, we're serving God's people. But you know why we're serving God's people? Because we're ultimately serving God, you know. And so when God's people don't want to act right, we got to still know that we're serving God. You know, we still got to keep moving on, you know, towards that ultimate destination. Joseph's dreams come into play when he is in prison and he gets to meet up with a butler and a baker whom have been put in there, and they both have dreams. One of them, their dreams leads to their death, which is the baker, and the other one leads to them getting out of prison and being restored to his job. And so the butler was supposed to tell Potiphar about Joseph, but he forgot all about him until, Pharaoh, rather. When Pharaoh had a dream, then it stirred his mind. Says, "Oh yes, I remember now." And so he was able to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. And so Joseph was able to interpret some dreams that Pharaoh had. And in doing this, Pharaoh gives Joseph his own signet ring, clothes. Now, you hear what I said? The Pharaoh gave Joseph his own. I'm not talking about Joseph's own. He took his signet ring off his finger and gave it to Joseph. That's significant right there. He gave him clothes that were in fine linen, and he puts a gold chain around his neck, and he gets to ride in the second chariot to Pharaoh. And when he comes riding by the people say, "Bow the knee," meaning get down and worship. So he has come from being hated to almost the point of them wanting to kill his brother, to almost wanting to kill him, to the point of being revered now. Just look at what has happened. Not only that, he's given another name. And I didn't realize this until I've read Genesis, but I guess I've forgotten. And I looked at that name. I probably won't pronounce it just right because this is not English. But anyway, I believe it's Zaphnath-Paneah. Zaphnath-Paneah. Zapania, and it's spelled Zapahnathpaneah. And isn't that a name? He gives him a whole nother name. Now, what has happened? Joseph's gift brought him recognition, and the recognition of his gift to interpret brought elevation. This is what happened. His gift brought him recognition now, and then the recognition of his gift to be able to interpret the dream brought him elevation. He was stripped of his coat of many colors. He was stripped of his garment by Potiphar's wife. Now he's given a royal garment. You hear me? Not just any garment. Oh, man, they didn't just go out there and get anybody's garment and put it on him, but he was given a royal garment. Y'all gonna be happy about this in the end, I'm telling you. And he was given it, when it comes to us, given a royal garment and jewelry. So don't hold so tightly to what's been given to you in the past that you can't receive the elevation to your future. Oh, my goodness. I almost feel like standing up saying this. Oh, did you hear me, people? Don't hold so tightly to what's been given to you in the past that you can't receive your elevation to your future.
Come on.
My goodness, God wants to take us all somewhere. And this, where we are is not where we're going. I have that on a picture called Tunnel Through. Yes, we're going through a tunnel, but where we are is not where we stay. It's where we go through, and we come out on another side. So, you know, this just blesses my soul. I tell you what, I don't know if this is a stopping point or not.
Is it a good spot for you?